That might help. Thank you. Should we go through this again? Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the September 17th meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. Let the record show that we're all here, except for John Zwemer, who has a legitimate reason to be excused, and we wish him well. Let's take a moment of silence, please. Thank you. The acceptance of the agenda. Is everybody pleased with the agenda?
Okay with me.
I have one been accepted, and we will move new business up to old business. Any announcements by the board? Anybody have any announcements? Questions?
This weekend is the coastal cleanup. There'll be beach cleanups across the state of California on Saturday morning. You could find more information somewhere. I don't have a contact number.
I'm sure it's on a website.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Noah. June.
I just have a question about the progress of the letter that we forwarded to the Planning Commission about the Adopted Tree Program.
Yes.
Movement has occurred on that?
As I understand, the Planning Commission reviewed it, accepted it, and it has been signed also. Morro Bay Beautiful has signed it. We have signed it. Rob, the status of the letter to the council, please.
It was distributed to council after the chairperson from the Planning Commission signed it on, I believe it was last Thursday. So it was distributed to their boxes at that time.
So hopefully they'll be addressing it at their next council meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
Will it be? So it wasn't part of their agenda packet for their next meeting?
No, it was signed after their agenda was out. So it's in their box.
Does that mean it will be on their next agenda or not? Or is that up in the air?
That's up in the air. It needs to be brought up by and recommended to be on their agenda by at least two council members.
So we need to contact the council members and make sure that that happens, and that's the next step? That isn't a staff thing to suggest?
That this is a board-initiated
A brief dissertation on this, please.
Well, in as much as we're having this...
Yeah. We're having this sewer plan, management plan, and there's a... Why all the echo? And there's echo. There's some talk about here the FOG controlling the grease and so forth. And I was going through this material off the internet, and here's this thing from the city of Millbrae showing how they're turning this grease from restaurants and so forth into power used in their sewer plant. So, and it says here, this is what they're doing is just the grease they're using is giving the equivalent of planting 166 acres of trees. That's a lot of difference.
It's a lot of trees.
So they're you know, this thing is working pretty good, I would say. So it's something that's, well, I can say it's an interesting concept. Whether it'll work here or not, I don't know.
Well, certainly something worth considering. Thank you, Bill. Any other written communications that the board needs to be aware of? I thought there was something. I don't know. Rob, did you have something you wanted to give us?
At the time, I brought extra of the tree ordinance, the major vegetation removal policy, and a copy of the Adopt a Tree Program letter that I can distribute. I think you already probably have had copies. Of
Any comment? Okay. Thank you, sir. We're glad you're here, though. Consent calendar, approval of the minutes for August 20th, 2008. Does anybody have any changes and or comments to make on the minutes of the last meeting? If not, I will accept a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Is there a second? I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Minutes have been approved. Dylan, you're up to bat with the director's report, please.
I don't have anything of special interest tonight. As always, that's out there for you guys to review. And then if you have any questions, but I'll ask Rob also. Rob, if you have anything you want to highlight, feel free.
Just want to take the chance to highlight again the city's roundabout project. We will be restarting that project on Monday. Lopez, V. Lopez and Sons, the contractor will be moving in and starting work. The phasing will be starting at the mobile station side, doing that demolition and reconstruction of infrastructure, then to the roundabout center, finally to the ARCO side, and then after that, all that's complete, they'll do the final paving, followed up by striping, landscaping, the finishing touches that'll go in on that.
On that subject, do you have any idea how long this is going to take?
The last time we spoke to Lopez, they were thinking 30 working days to complete the improvement section area to let them know basically from Coast Bank back towards the intersection, hit all those businesses.
Including the coffee shop.
Including the coffee shop, Mobile, ARCO, the other Valero gas station, battery exchange.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Rob. Does anybody have any questions or comments on the roundabout at the moment?
How much is going to be closed in that area? Are we going to be able to access the service stations? Are we going to be able to access the freeway from that area?
Yes, it'll be there'll be traffic control during the different phases of the construction, but it will be open to through traffic most of the time. Probably the most drastic closure will occur during the final paving operations. They want to get a nice, clean pavement done. So that would be the only time that we're anticipating a more drastic closure. At all other times, it'll be open to traffic. It'll be cleaned up and open on the weekends and shouldn't impact our coming Avocado Margarita Festival, the Sean Kingston concert, and the Harbor Festival.
Very good. Thank you. Any other comments you want to make, Rob, about the director's report? Because I'm sure there'll be some questions. Is there anything?
Not any at this time.
Not specifically. Dylan, do you have anything further you want to add before we get into questions and comments?
No, I'm...
Okay. Let's open it up to the board. Matt, do you have any questions or comments about anything on the director's report?
Sure, I have one for Rob and...
As a change to the project.
So then it wouldn't be fair to everything going on to put any dates on it. It's just as the work goes, and then when it's done, go to the next phase.
Exactly. We need to expend the streets money by basically 2011. We have to expend that money. And so our plan was to get it either done before the rains start this year or wait until spring starts. Rainy season is not a good time to be paving streets.
And then, Dylan, about the Harbor Walk, the few things left on that, what do we have a date? And is that by the Harbor Festival or going to be done by that?
Correct. We actually are going to hold off on there's about three things left to do. The benches are coming in, supposed to be here actually this week, which I'm really glad to get. It's taken forever to get those. There's a few pieces of handrails still left to put up and kind of put together, mostly some special pieces that they had to fabricate, some gates and things like that. So those probably will happen before the Harbor Festival. They won't really impact what's going on down there. The final piece of work is we actually are going to slurry seal the parking lot and restripe it. And so that's a fairly large impact and an impact to those businesses down there. So what we've talked about doing is postponing that work until after the Harbor Festival. So basically kind of putting that off as long as we can and get as far out of the summer season as we can into their slower time of the year before we do that.
All right.
Just for clarification, is the parking lot you're speaking about the one by the businesses, by the GAFCO and all those? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. From GAFCO on down to Beach Street.
Okay. Thank you.
And I did have one more thing.
Go, please.
Dylan, I don't know if you're going to talk about it before you leave, but about ongoing the water stoppage that we're going to be looking at and anything going on with state water right now.
Sure. That's actually probably should have brought that up. Thank you for the reminder. Upcoming state water shutdown, October 27th through November 16th. And they'll be able to make it through this period. We do want to urge people, though, to conserve because it is a critical supply period. Normally, I like to think of our water supply. We have three sources. We have a desal plant, we have groundwater wells, and we have a state water project. Well, now we're going from being a tricycle down to a bicycle, and you go, it's, you know, the less wheels, the less steady. And so now we have two sources, which is our groundwater and the desal plant. And so it is a critical supply period. We are more vulnerable. And so I do want to encourage people to conserve. We sent out a flyer to that end, basically urging conservation during that period. But we think we should be able to push through that and not have any major events.
Dylan, I'm sorry.
Further question. Along those lines, if we do receive an allotment from the men's colony, would we be charged per the volume of that water or allotments? And if so, would that help our costs as far as city operations to keep the volume down through conservation?
Yeah, as always, you know, for the state water project, we have a fixed cost. That's our largest part of our water budget. Anytime we conserve here, it does reduce our variable costs. And so you go, we can save a little bit through conservation. And certainly the individuals who conserve realize those benefits and that savings. So we always urge conservation. With the men's colony, we haven't worked out all the specifics of the agreement yet, but I would anticipate that what will happen is whatever water we get from them, we'll pay them back with our state water once it comes back online, and then we'll pay any charges for getting it to us that they might incur.
Do we know up front what those charges might be?
No, and I wouldn't anticipate them to be that great. Okay. It's just, you know, if they got a little bit of a
clarification. You said we'll be using the desal plant. Will that be for desalinization of seawater, or will that I think I read that it won't be used for nitrate extraction. So we will be kicking it up for desal from ocean water as well as well water is what we'll be using?
No, we what we'll be doing was the same thing we've done in the past few years. We actually haven't converted seawater in probably 5 or 6 years. And so what we'll be doing is we'll be actually running our groundwater through the desal plant, the Morro Basin groundwater, and using our desal plant to remove nitrates.
We are going
to do it for that purpose.
I thought there was additional infrastructure we needed to add to the desal plant to do that efficiently or effectively.
Efficiently. In the long term, we're actually adding two brackish water membrane treatment trains that will treat that water at a lot lower pressure. Right now, we pump it up real high pressures, 800-900 PSI, and force it through these membranes that are designed to catch the salt. It catches the nitrates also. In the future, we'll have brackish water treatment trains in place and installed that will only have to pump up to like 200 PSI, so a lot less pressure, a lot less energy, and therefore we'll be able to pull the nitrates out of our groundwater much more efficiently into the future. But that won't be in and online in time for the state water shutdown period. That'll come after.
Do we have a date when the GE membranes would be arriving yet?
Yeah, we've kicked some ship dates around. At this point, the last ship date I got out of them was mid-November, which was too late for the state water shutdown period. So what we'll do now is we'll probably push that date 3 or 4 weeks to give us time to make sure that we're out of that
time.
Yeah, we've done some, I wouldn't say I've done an official one. We've done some kind of quick and dirty numbers running through it, looking at it. The way that we're funding it right now is actually out of reserves. And we looked at this as being a necessary step. It was kind of like we need to get the nitrates out so we can use our groundwater basin. One portion of the project that we originally contemplated that probably won't wind up in there is the energy recovery on the saltwater conversion membranes. So originally we were going to add and modify our saltwater conversion process and put energy recovery systems in there. After looking at it, the return period was at least 100 months. I mean, the way that we operate our system, you know, right now 1 month a year, you go, I won't live to see that benefit, and I don't think the equipment would last that long. So we've actually sort of pulled that back out of the scope. And in the future, if we do wind up running our seawater conversion more often, which I think we won't need to because we're adding the brackish treatment, then we would contemplate putting that back in. But right now we've pulled that out of the scope.
Thank you. Noah?
Yeah, I'd like an update about the potential next steps. I did attend the meeting with the farmers and the regional board on nitrate applications and options for them to reduce their nitrate use. And actually, there was really good feedback from the farmers. They seemed to really enjoy the workshop, and I only stayed for a couple of minutes just to kind of check the tempo, but it seemed like everyone felt like there was a lot of value there, and the attitude was really positive. But just curious to know if there is going to be anything in the future along those lines as far as meetings with the farming community.
Sure. Right now, the direction I've expressed with a couple of the kind of sort of collaborative agencies, the RCD and some of the others, to put together a basin plan or a management plan for that basin. So I would anticipate in the coming months sort of starting those talks and looking at that. We pursued grant funding for that planning effort in the Chorro Basin and were denied that grant, but we'll kind of get out there and sort of beat the bushes and see if we can find some money to pull these groups together and to prepare a management plan for that basin. So I think on that level, that will probably come out of it. And we'll continue our conversations with interested parties. And then we're also talking to the regional board, and I know the regional board's stepping up their effort in that valley. Also on the city front, we've been directed to bring in outside counsel to look at really and sit down with us and inform us what are our options and what are our legal rights and what's available to us out there. So that'll happen here in the next month.
On that same vein, last night's council and mayoral debates, Noah brought up a concept of fish mulch as a fertilizer base. And I'm wondering, I thought it was a good idea, and I'm wondering if this is something the city can pursue as a manufacturing product and get farmers to use the fish mulch as well as the sludge mulch from the wastewater treatment so we can get out of fertilizing with nitrates, et cetera. Is that a direction that we as a city can go?
I'll be careful in answering that question.
Yes. It,
when you use and then also a slower release, less solubility on your fertilizer type. So, you know, the problem with some of the pre-manufactured fertilizers is they're really soluble. So they put the water on and it washes right out down into the base. And then some of the organics are better at holding together a little bit longer and aren't quite as soluble. So there could be some benefits realized there. We've really tried, though. My perspective on it is I'm not a farming expert, and I haven't wanted to step into the role or have us step into the role of teaching the farmers or telling the farmers how to manage their farms. What we've more kind of said to them is we're looking to you guys to manage your business and to manage your nitrate application levels and to help us out, but we don't really want to step into that role of farm management. I don't, you know, that's not an expertise that we have. So we've been very careful there.
Okay, thank you. I really just wanted it as an education, get it out there in the public and at least.
I should clarify, the concept is a pilot project. We have identified a farmer up the valley that is interested in accepting and processing the.
Is this going on right now?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. So we will get a report from this project eventually?
And part of the project would be to analyze how the fish emulsion would be potentially able to reduce nitrate loads, and that would be obviously part of a research project through Cal Poly. So it's in the process. We've identified the source for the fish emulsion and the farm. So the process is beginning, but there's still some ways to go, and it will be a pilot to start with.
Well, it's happening, and that's good. We need to find alternatives, and I'm delighted. Thank you, Noah.
So what's going on here, and how is that going to affect people?
You know, I don't know about a specific change that Charter has made, but there is federal law, I believe it's February 2009, all channels will go to digital. So you go, that is a change that's coming, and I'm sure that Charter's probably moving in that direction as quickly as they can in order to meet that deadline. But what people can do is if you have an analog television, you can get a digital box and still receive the channels.
See, I haven't noticed anything because we have two new sets that are new this year, and they have multiple receivers in them that will receive anything that comes to it. And I guess that's the way the new sets are. But other people, if you have an old set, you're going to have to do something.
Correct. You'd have to get a digital converter box. And Charter should have those available, and there's other sources available as well. But I'm, you know, just general
the
knowledge
same
there.
The letter, I believe, said something about the converter boxes that were available only for off the air and not for the cable.
I can get them for cable.
So, pardon?
I think they're out there for cable eventually.
Well, I would think so, yes.
Is there anybody else? Oh, I'm sorry, Bill.
That's all right.
Are you through?
Absolutely, yes.
Good questions. Thank you. Anybody else have questions or comments? Okay, I have a couple of quick ones, Dylan or Rob. On the Harbor Walk, I'm going to ask again because I can't remember what you said, but is there a possibility to get drought-resistant plants, just some greenery in that dirt area? Or do you have?
There are times a year where they're absolutely beautiful, but
yeah.
Most of the time they don't. Look that. They're not the lush, green, vigorous growth that you would like. So we did plant those areas with a dune species, an ornamental dune species. I know there's some interest for Morbid Beautiful, and they've come and talked to me about that. I wouldn't anticipate any problem with them getting in there. I kind of saw that would probably happen.
Okay.
To confirm, there is currently no irrigation system laid along the walk.
Correct. We did not install irrigation. So the intent there wasn't, and that was sort of one of the requirements. We didn't really want to get into this sort of lush, tropical, not fitting vegetation for that area. We actually are doing a significant dune restoration effort out there as part of the project. We've got 5 acres that we've pulled all the invasive non-natives out of. Collected seed, replanted with native vegetation, and are working on that dune restoration. So we didn't want really to be competing with that. We didn't want to have a bunch of non-native ornamentals kind of right in that same area.
Okay. Thank you, Dylan. One last question, please. Just a brief update on the status of the MTBE issue. I understand the board, RWC, Regional Water Quality Board is going to recommend closure, and I was just getting an update if we could, please.
The board did already recommend closure of the site. The Shell and their consultants are now abandoning or have completed abandoning the wells. That was one of the conditions of the full closure of the site, was to destroy those monitoring wells that were there.
The Regional Water Control Board suggested that we have a conditional case closure, and that's what it says on the director's report. So what does conditional mean?
They conditioned the applicant to remove the wells, the monitoring wells, to get full closure. So that was their conditions that they placed on. I think they have to provide the final reports before the regional board will actually close the site.
And then at that point, it becomes what type of closure? Not conditional?
It's a closed case.
It's a closed case.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Just for our edification and the record, let the record show that we did all each receive a copy of the letter to Harvey Packard from Marla Bouton and Richard Sadowski regarding the nitrates, et cetera. We all got these? Okay, I just want to acknowledge that we did finally get them. Thank you. Yes, please, Jim, go ahead.
Since we voted on that issue at our last meeting before we received that letter, I feel like some kind of a process glitch happened.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like we should have had that information before we made any kind of final vote on what we wanted to forward to the City Council and how we wanted that forwarded. So I'm not exactly what happened in the process. I know her letter was dated July 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know the city copy that I got said it was received at August 25th. Or 27th. So I don't know what the disparity was there in time frame, but I really do feel like we should have, unless you already had knew about that,
that we poured on to you guys. So once we received those, you got them into your basket. I didn't author that letter. It was written by them, and they had claimed to have CC'd you guys on that when they first authored it. So what happened? We didn't get a copy of it for you. As soon as we got copies of that letter, it was put into your boxes, and you guys got it. So we passed it along once we got it.
Okay.
So the CC doesn't go through the city. It would have been directly from Marla and Richard that they would have. They were responsible to send us individuals, not through, because it is.
I think that was probably the issue. Is that if somebody provides us with something and asks us to give it to you guys, we'll do that. If somebody writes a letter and CCs you guys, I wouldn't, unless they gave us a copy and asked us to distribute it, we wouldn't know to do that. I think that was the issue.
So you assume that we had received something directly from them, so you didn't need to do it as well.
Yeah, because I received the letter from the regional board. I got a copy from the regional board probably in July sometime. There's a couple copies floating around of that. But, you know, I think the issue was is that the letter came in. When we got it and were told to directed to forward it to you guys, we did that.
It just seems like there was a long time between July 7th when it was written, and then we didn't receive it until after our August 20th meeting.
Correct. Yeah. The question in the August meeting was how come you guys didn't have that letter? And once it was found, then they provided us copies and we forwarded it along.
Do you know, has the regional board responded to this
letter? I haven't seen anything in that regards. They may have. I'm not privy to all the correspondence that goes on.
N to space item 9. So, Dylan, a sanitary sewer management plan report from you will be welcomed.
Correct. Give me 1 minute. I'll pop something up on the overhead.
Okay.
I got a brief presentation, and then hopefully you guys have had a chance to review the chapter, and then we'll go through. I want to spend most of the time on kind of questions and answers. I think that's where we get the most benefit as we kind of grind through it together.
Very good.
So let me pop that up, and we'll run through a quick presentation, and then we'll take questions.
There's a lot of... There's quite a bit of talk in here about the fats and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think you ought to bring it up.
Well, that's why. That's why that caught my eye. You know.
Yeah. I think the fats. The question
comes. It all goes together.
Yeah. All right. So real quick, we'll run through this. Pretty simple. Basically, we're talking tonight about the sanitary sewer management plan. In 2006, the state adopted a general waste discharge requirement that requires basically all waste dischargers to prepare this plan. And as part of maintaining and having a collection system, we have to prepare this plan. So here are some of the elements of the plan that were outlined, and here's our status. So I kind of put a status check on here. We were directed when we took this to council and asked them what they wanted us to do. We were directed to prepare it at staff level. Most of the work on this plan has been put together by Jim Hayes, who's out in the audience tonight. He's our collection system senior worker or lead worker in the collections department, collection system supervisor. So what we've done, I put up there just sort of tracking. There's a bunch of elements to this plan, and I kind of wanted to, point out where we're at for you next month. O&M program, we're writing that. That's actually the lion's share of the effort is in writing that operations and maintenance program. Imagine trying to sit down and write every detail about what could possibly pop out of your job in any given day. That's the effort that we're really in there, is trying to capture all of the things and all the intricacies of what we do and put it into some kind of legible format. So, it's a challenging chapter that we're working through. Tonight, we're bringing to you the FOG program. And for those of you who may not know, FOG in collections terms stands for fats, oils, and grease. Another way you can think about it is it's cooking grease. If you cook bacon, you get renderings. Certain salad dressings are chock full of oil. Any kind of cooking oil or fat product is what we would refer to as FOG. So we'll run through that tonight. The overflow emergency response plan we brought to you guys already, so we're done with that. Design and performance provisions, we basically have to have some standards that people need to meet. We're working through that. The system evaluation capacity assurance plan is largely our sewer master plan that we prepared in 2006. So we'll kind of resurrect that and put a new cover on it and call it that chapter. And then we have sort of the requirement to inform the public and to keep going on in preparing this. So the way that our system works is you basically have sewage flows out of your home or business into different areas in town. Flows via gravity for the most part. In some places it actually passes through a lift station, comes together, and so you go, comes out of your home. Depending on where you're at, it may go through one lift station cleaned already. So we already ran our standard cleaning equipment through here, and you go, look at all this congealed material. That's fog. That's fats, oils, and grease. This happens to be a lateral coming out of a restaurant here in Morro Bay. And so you go, what's happening is you, as that material enters the sewer system, it congeals and sticks together and forms a pretty thick impenetrable crust. So what does that do? Well, that can lead to directly to a blockage in the city main. You basically, over time, this will sort of drip through, close up, and the hole that the rest of the sewage flowing down that pipeline can pass through gets smaller and smaller, and ultimately it can seal all the way shut. So you can actually seal the city main and block off flow completely because of a problem with fats, oils, and grease. It can also crust up and cause blockages in a lift station. We've had issues where they form like a nice thick layer over the top, and then the materials the lift station doesn't work properly. Under certain conditions, that clogging nature can actually damage pumping equipment. So you can seal off the flow to a pump and burn up pumps and motors. Obviously, it reduces the capacity of a line. And then it also leads to a lot of increased effort by maintenance staff. So the best way that you deal with this is you keep it out of the system. Once it's in the system, it's going to do what it's going to do. Those particles are charged, and so they actually stick and lump together. So they won't just flow right on by. They'll actually congeal together and form those big masses. So what we did, we started in 1999 with a source control effort here in Morro Bay. We said, hey, there's things in our system that we don't like. The people are putting things into our system they probably shouldn't be putting in there. And then in 2002, that source control effort sort of split off and we said, and then I think the best thing we can do is just sort of grind through it, walk through what's in the package that I handed out tonight, and see if you guys have questions, comments, or concerns about what's in there. So I'll turn it over to you guys for questions at this point.
Okay, thank you, John. Who would like to start with questions? Noah?
Yeah, well, one question that came to mind is this is definitely focused on businesses. How much effort has there been? I see in the newsletter that there's been an attachment there, but has there been an outreach effort to homeowners?
Hopefully tonight serves as part of that. We have flyers that we have mailed out. To reach the homeowners, we generally rely on our newsletters. So we put a lot of emphasis in those newsletters. So we hope that everybody out there who can hear us tonight isn't just taking their water bill out and chucking everything else that's in there, which I know can be the trend. And so you go, we do outreach that way. You focus on the restaurants and the commercial entities because that's sort of the most bang for your buck. And that if you get all the restaurants in Morro Bay, you can take care of, you know, maybe 70 or 80% of the problem, with the rest sort of dispersed to all the 4,000 or 5,000 houses that are here in Morro Bay. So we will do more outreach as we go through this. We've got some mailers that we can send out. But that's been about the extent of our outreach to the homeowners.
I would definitely encourage a stronger outreach, especially with residential. I think your businesses are probably fully aware because it would affect them greater than it would affect the resident. But it's the here, there, you know, on top of everything else. We're kind of working against ourselves. June, do you have any questions?
Well,
comments?
Just on this, along the same lines that you're going, I'm curious as to what percentage of the problem, and I'll call it a problem because any of it in our sewer system is a problem, could you tie to homeowners, and what percentage would you say actually comes from business sources? My understanding reading this was that it's mainly from businesses.
Yeah, businesses that have a commercial kitchen can produce a large volume. Most of our businesses have facilities in place. They don't always maintain those facilities. And when they don't maintain them, they lose their effectiveness. I wouldn't be comfortable venturing a guess. What we've seen, though, a pretty consistent trend, is that most of our fog problems, so most of the areas where we kind of see this buildup are in the commercial areas. They are in the areas influenced by restaurants or dining establishments. So we haven't really noticed this as much up in the neighborhoods, but I wouldn't be comfortable venturing a guess and putting a percentage on it.
I did notice in the reading that it said you have designated areas that you've found that you've had problems through the years, fairly consistent problems in those areas, and that you have to go in on a 30, 60, or 90-day interval, sometimes 180-day interval, where so up to anywhere from a month to every 6 months that you're doing those, and yet in the standard practice for the rest of the areas is only once every 2 years. Did I get that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're right on. Our average is a little better than once every 2 years, but we're committed to getting everything at least once.
Difficulty. We have very few problems in residential areas, and when we do, it's mostly with roots as a part of that.
Excuse me, Jim, could you introduce yourself?
I'm Jim Hayes. I'm the collection system supervisor. This is my deal.
Thank you. It's for the public to know okay. Who you are. Thank you.
So over the years, since the 90s, we have been having a big problem on the Embarcadero. And while I can't quantify exactly the difference, I can say that we haven't been burning up pubs since I started going around and doing these inspections. And we haven't been clogging. What it'll do, it'll clog an impeller, and then the pump won't do anything. And when you look at it, it just looks like a big piece of iron, but it won't move any water, and that's the problem. That's where we started on the Embarcadero and then going around to all of the rest of the restaurants. So it really is a problem from the restaurants.
Thank you, Jim. As long as you're still there, is there a place, if there are residents who use a lot of grease, fat, and oil in their cooking, et cetera, is there a place where a resident and or a small business with a kitchen can take and get rid of it?
I don't know.
Is this something?
Tallow Works will take them. There's recyclers around that will take them, and I guess I could put together a list of those, but there is a recycling agency who is doing, as Mr. Olson says, and is taking grease and turning it into something that powers something. I don't know what it is, but I have heard that that is taking place, and maybe I can find a number. And
is this something that the city can look into? Would it be?
You would have to talk to somebody in management about that.
Okay.
Fried, and you've got, you know, this much oil in the bottom of your pan when you're done frying your taco shells.
Right.
What's your suggested disposal?
My suggestion is to wipe it out of the pan and throw it in the trash before you wash it.
So it should go into the garbage, not
yes.
down the drain.
It should go to landfill.
You could put it in a can,
yes.
an empty can or
just
a jar
like
or something.
Just like your grandma did, and you put it right. in the can and then put it in the trash. Great thing to do with it.
What about Sloppy Joe's the next time?
If you would eat that, I would say the same thing.
I actually remember when I was a kid, you could take your bacon grease
yeah.
to the butcher, and
yeah.
he'd pay you for it. I could get a candy bar for a can of
that's
bacon
true.
Grease.
That's
yeah,
true.
And they must have been using it for something.
We're dating ourselves, June.
I know.
This is something that I think, Dylan, that what Jim just mentioned about dumping it into the trash, to the landfill, that might be something to include in that because
yeah,
I've not seen anything about that.
Yeah, that is one of the BMPs for a homeowner. That's the best way to deal with it is you
that's
let
good.
It sit so it's cool, cools off, congeals a little bit. And you've all seen that. And, you know, it's hot when you're cooking and it's liquid, and then you let it sit there and it forms that big crust. Take a paper towel, wipe it off, and throw it right in your trash can. That's the best place for it.
I think most people aren't aware of that. They don't really know how to handle that material.
If you don't do that, you may be lucky or unlucky, depending on how you want to define the term. But you'll plug up your private lateral as well as the sewer main. And
yes,
generally yep. speaking, with the homeowners, because of the smaller diameter and some length of the runs, that's usually what happens to them, is that they plug it up, and then their sewer system stops working. They call the plumber out, hey, help me, and they get an education the hard way. Troubled in gym is the way I feel about that. Certainly, as we go through this effort of preparing the sanitary sewer management plan, there are areas of our operation that need improvement. And you go, right now we have a crew Jim, and then three other guys. So we have a four-man collection system crew that cleans and maintains all of our facilities in Morro Bay, about 60 miles of pipelines, three lift stations. The recommendations on a fog program, when you start those and you kind of read some of the literature and get out there and look at it, they say, hey, it's depending on your service area, it's at least one person a good chunk of time. And then in some places, they have two, three, or four people working on it. We would never need to get to the point where we need two, three, or four people working on it. We just don't have that volume of restaurants and facilities to go take care of. But you go, certainly, it is one of those things that takes up a lot of time. I mean, you go, right now, you know, there's probably 52 to 60 restaurants in Morro Bay at any given time. Each visit takes you an hour. And then to document it takes a little bit more time. So you go, you know, it's 50 or 60 hours. Plus you do follow-up visits for those places that are having a problem, and those can grow exponentially, the amount of effort that you can put in there. And so you go, as we go through this process of identifying all of the practices that we're doing and taking steps to improve all those practices, we could certainly get to the point in the future where we're going to need additional collections staff.
Because the same staff is also charged with every component of the collection system, not only this program, of course.
Correct. This is one of, you know, a laundry list of things that these guys do. It is a challenge. It is constantly a challenge where you're juggling priorities and you're trying to always do the best thing first. But you don't always get to the bottom of your list. Almost never, really, do you get all the things done that you would like to do.
Thank you. Does anyone else have questions for Jim? Okay, June. One more question, Jim, before we let you sit down.
I didn't say what. I just had some questions about how I noticed that there was a survey done in 2002.
Yes, ma'am,
of all the businesses.
That.
And I'm assuming we do some follow-up with those businesses, but I also know I've worked with the local businesses, and there's a high turnover rate. So I'm curious as to how new businesses get added to the list of who you're educating and checking in with, you know, and how that has that survey been updated since 2002?
Yes, it has. Every year I go to City Hall, and I get a new business license list, and I go down that and find out who has changed, who's new, and then I begin to get there. I put this program together in pieces, and I'm now getting to the point where I have all the pieces together, and I want to go back and canvass all of the businesses again. But every year, I renew the list. Oh. First part of the year.
That's great. And I saw that there is a process for facilities when they're inspected. If they don't comply with what they should be doing, they haven't cleaned adequately, or it's in need of cleaning, that there's supposed to be a reinspection in 30
yes.
days. Does that?
Yes.
And then I saw there's also a...
you just say so, and they will take care of it. They're very cooperative. The business owners here have been very cooperative. And I think that's because they're very smart people, and they know the difference between right and wrong, and they know where it goes if it flows out of the street. And I'm sure they're aware of where the bay is. And I'm sure that they all try to cooperate and maybe sometimes don't know exactly what the right thing to do is. So that's why we're putting this all together. And it's kind of going to be an educational thing as it go along. This was kind of written so that it could be handed out to all of the business owners so that they don't just think that the city's just coming up with some new law and trying to enforce something that was never there before. I'd rather, and they cooperate much better if you're nice to them than if you go down there and I have a badge and I'm going to cause trouble, and it doesn't work that well here.
I this may be more for you, Dylan, yep. But I was involved with Templeton Community Service District, and they said they are acting aggressively on a fog program up there. Every single business, they told me, has to be in compliance with this this issue. And their attitude was that, my impression was that it was a kind of a new program, and that, is there something from the state coming down where they're really are pushing for more enforcement of these regulations than they had been in the past. Why had this movement, not only in Morro Bay, but in Templeton and other cities as well, to really start making sure we have a handle on this?
Correct. In May 2000, a lot of places, it is different than what they've done in the past because they weren't all up to snuff. I mean, there's a lot of agencies that are struggling with, you know, how much do you do, where, and when. We've been pretty sort of willing to work with our business owners here. We've been pretty friendly in that regard, and we've had pretty good success. And so, like Jim says, we've worked mostly on the front that, hey, this is the best thing to do. If we have a problem, though, we will crack down. We have shut off water to businesses that were causing problems before. That's something that I've done since I've been here at the city, and that's something that we would do. If we have a real nuisance, we will take care of that. Well, that's not something that we will tolerate. But our approach has been, you know, you get more flies with, what do they say, you get more flies with sugar than other stuff, you know. So our approach has been friendly, and we've gotten good results, and so we don't have to. But we certainly will take whatever steps are necessary to protect our system and to protect our environment here.
I'm not advocating a more aggressive approach. I just was curious what the status is in the city right now, and so you've clarified that.
Yeah, we've been at this, you know, kind of rough efforts in the late 90s, and then 2002 really started a fog program where somebody was visiting and looking and teaching. I would like to have us in every restaurant in Morro Bay at least once and preferably twice a year. Because you do, it's an industry that has a real high turnover. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like every time you go, it can be a little disheartening, actually. Because you go, every time you go, you spend all those hours training.
Is it worth staffing time or anything? Are you aware of?
Yeah, there's some educational materials. There's some good stuff out there. One of my favorites, it's a website called Stop the Clog. Hmm. And it's, I think it's up in Sacramento. It's their grease program. So there are some good educational materials out there. You guys have some handouts in your flyer. I brought a copy. You know, we got a nice big sticker we put out there for the restaurants, sort of the no grease, no grasa, and a heavy-duty sticker that they can put up right on their sink. There are some educational materials. Some of them were the earlier rounds. But this is a program that will, as we go along, will evolve. And we'll get better flyers put together, and sort of we'll keep at this. This is something that we've been doing for a while, but really what we're doing tonight is just letting you guys know that, hey, this is here, take a look at it, and then getting these comments like, let's do more outreach to the homeowners are very helpful.
This is more out of curiosity, I guess, but I understand what a big job this is, especially when you consider the whole collection system. And I'm just curious to know, is there room for some support? Because we do have small staffing levels. Is there room for support? I know we have friends of the police department and the fire department. Is there potential for a friends of the collection system?
It's a very elite club at this point, I would think. I certainly anything people can do to get the word out to their friends and neighbors is always appreciated. I mean, you go, we all love living here. And you go, I think, you know, pretty much everybody in Morro Bay is here because they want to be here. This is such a wonderful place. And so the more that we can get out there to be safe for the community, and probably wouldn't be safe for our system either. So there are limited opportunities for volunteerism here. But mostly it's the education and get the word out and be responsible yourself. And you know, when you're at your buddy's house and he's cooking up those delicious tacos, let him know to wipe the grease out and throw it in the trash can.
There's a few other things I would like to keep out of the sewer system as well. Dental floss being a big one. Underwear and pajamas being another.
I'm not gonna.
We do, and I don't like that either.
I won't let Jim give you guys the complete list because this is broadcast to the public. We don't want to do that to everybody. But you find some very strange things in sewer systems and go, how on earth did that get in there? Mobile home parts we've found in our sewer system. So you just go, what, where, and how? Who knows?
It's horrible stuff.
Oh, dental floss. I just reemphasize that because I've heard that in San Luis Obispo as well. It's a serious problem.
People use it to stitch their jeans together, and it gets in my pumps, and it's really a pain to get out.
Well, I think a lot of people, when they use it, they put it right in the toilet.
And that's a bad thing.
Yeah, and most people would not think about that.
And that's a very important message to gather. Your toilet is not a garbage disposal. It's designed for a specific purpose, and when you use it as a garbage disposal, you know, there are people who have to deal with it. And you go, that's a mean, messy job. And fortunately, we have a great crew here that works really hard, and so anything you can do to limit, you know, don't dispose of things in the toilet that don't normally go in there. That really helps.
Predominantly on the Embarcadero. Has that diminished? Have you...
Actually, it is. It has, since 2002, it is... I can't give you, like, a gallon amount, but I can tell you they had catchers down in some of the manholes to catch stuff that was going down in there. They've been removed, and it's been a long time since we've had a pump plugged up, and it's directly because of this program.
So there's progress is being made.
Yes.
Very good. I thank you for that. And keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
I would like to say while you're here, Jim, on behalf of the board, we really appreciate the work that you do. We understand it's something that probably doesn't get seen or recognized until there's a problem. And we realize the town's a big one and our infrastructure is fairly old. So we know you're doing the best you can with what you got. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I'd just like to say thank you for coming tonight and answering all the questions, too.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Jim. Take care and stay well. Does anybody else on the board have questions or comments on this particular subject at this time? Hearing none, Dylan?
I could make one comment.
Bill wants to make a comment.
For a homeowner, if you don't take care of this, it'll come back and bite you. Because we have some friends who had their sewer to the kitchen line block up a couple of years ago, and it was coffee grounds and fat had congealed in it like concrete, and the plumber had a heck of a time getting that thing cleared. It was a pretty good bill.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Dylan, I think that concludes your presentation.
Yeah, I got some good notes. What will happen with this whole management plan is we're bringing you guys each chapter as we go, and we think that's a really our plan is up to date and current.
By bringing it here tonight, you're beginning to do the right thing. I can't reiterate strongly enough the need for education, especially to our homeowners. The businesses, I think, are an automatic, but as you say, Jim finds the strangest things, and that's because the homeowners aren't thinking. You know, out of sight, out of mind, that's the number one. So I would encourage you, please, to continue the education process as best you can. Does anybody else have a further added final comment? Dylan, thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All righty. You have a good evening. Enjoy your dinner. Jim, thanks for coming. Take care and stay well. Okay, moving right along, if nobody has any sticky wickets. Let's get into the board's continued discussion of the street trees from August 20th, 2008. And Rob Leivig, you're our man about town on this. And, okay. Let me see. Go ahead, Rob. We're passing these out.
There is no staff report for this item. It was a continuation of your discussion from the last time. Just wanted to point out that I did bring materials that has been previously distributed, the city's tree ordinance and the major vegetation tree policy, which is more for private trees, and then also a copy of the letter that Planning Commission and this board that discusses landmark trees that requires a more rigorous process for removal, but really doesn't define what a landmark tree is. And there's no discussion of heritage trees or how to designate heritage trees. So with that, I'll turn it back over to the board for your discussion on those two items.
Okay, thank you, Rob. How does the board feel? Should we go right into Actually, I would rather eliminate the phrase heritage. I think we ought to just stick with landmark trees, keep it generic for everybody, because if we keep using the two, people will get confused. So I think it would best serve everybody just to call it landmark trees. Does anybody want to begin the conversation as to a definition, if they've done any homework on the issue?
Well, the general question here is, is there a semantical difference between heritage and the other one?
No, I just feel that it's unnecessary to have two headings. I would rather have just one, and I think landmark is a viable one. Also, the City Council, about a year and a half ago, I believe, passed a resolution declaring this eucalyptus grove over here next to the community center as a landmark tree status. So having already declared one grove landmark, I think we ought to continue. They both mean the same, but for clarity, I think if we all stick with landmark, then we can put an end to any confusion. So having established that.
Very beautiful. And I think we have a vested community interest in that. Some people find trees sometimes inconvenient on their homes and whatnot, but we need more trees and we want to keep the trees in the city. So I think it's a no-brainer to have this.
I agree. Landmark tree, I think what we need to do, we need to come up with a standard, a defining standard. Is it 6 feet high, 5 feet around, 2 feet wide? You know, we need to give some clarity to council. So I'm looking at the board here to give some clarity to us. Does anybody particularly have a landmark tree in mind? I mean, we can all pick out one. We can see one and you say, oh, yes, that's a landmark tree. It's 50 feet tall. It's 6 feet across. Definitely a landmark. But I think we need a little more clarity than that.
And I think this may take a little more research for us to actually develop the process of identifying those trees. From research on the web, you can find quite a few cities within California have a landmark or heritage tree ordinance, including, I believe, San Luis Obispo. And it would be valuable to talk with them on the process that they took to identify and accept that definition and how we would actually identify the exact trees. From my background, I'm interested to hear Rob's opinion on what would be
to proceed with some tree issues. One of those issues in your letter is to develop this landmark tree, heritage tree designations. So I think once we've been given more direction from council on which way to proceed, we could put some staff time into that. Also, we could probably look at what findings were made in the eucalyptus grove over by the community center, see what findings council made to designate those as landmark trees. They evidently had some criteria that they came up with to designate them as being landmark trees. That might be a good place to start. Also, pulling together other sample ordinances. We don't need to reinvent the wheel for our city. We can borrow from our brother and sister communities around California to establish an ordinance. Also, I believe some of the International Society of Arboriculturists may have some model language ordinance on their website. So I believe that, from staff's point of view, the next step is to get direction on council to proceed with this item.
Does that mean, Rob, then, from this council are you talking about, that we would ask staff to go and
find out
what this means?
No, from city council.
So we would recommend to city council to direct staff.
This is what this letter is.
June, were you considering contacting the council? And
or at least put it on their agenda as quickly as possible. Because as Rob said, if we get direction from staff, we can then, I mean from council, we then have a direction to move without stepping on toes. I like the idea of looking at San Luis, et cetera, and other sister cities and taking language. I think it's a good idea to find out why staff or what findings for the eucalyptus grove. I think they were minimum. It was, well, it's all right. We'll let you investigate that. Also, Morro Bay Beautiful is still interested in pursuing the Adopt-a-Tree program. Mm-hmm. And I think we, again, that's part of this letter. And I think what you're saying, Rob, if I hear you correctly, there's little we can do tonight directly until we get, until council reads the letter, accepts it, and decides what to do with it.
Like has been brought up, I think there needs to be some research done on this and to come to you with some examples of model ordinances for further discussion.
That's on the landmark tree status.
Landmark tree status.
What about the adopted
tree program? With the adopted tree program, our data tree database, happy to share that with anybody. It's still in its infancy because we're our goal priority was to work on our stormwater plan and get that submitted in a timely manner. And you know, I think the subcommittee to get the word out that this is a, they felt that it was a priority issue in their discussions, and maybe there needs to be some lobbying done on from their side of the counter.
They do have a copy of our letter, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when June and I call, whomever we call, they're going to be aware of what we're talking about.
Yes, they will.
Okay. Yes, Noah.
I did have an update. We do have a goal of actually kicking off the Adopt-a-Tree program by this rainy season or some point within the rainy season. And along the lines of our discussion and meetings that we had with members of the Planning Department and Morro Bay Beautiful, or Planning Commission and Morro Bay Beautiful, we had some different items that we were going to pursue, and I have contacted some of the local nurseries in regards to wholesale pricing on trees, and they have committed to sell to our coalition at a wholesale level at least and potentially make some donations. I've also contacted the Cub Scouts, who then talked with the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. And all three groups are really excited about participating with this program and have actually submitted November 22nd as a date that they would all be available in the morning to participate in a kickoff program. As we had suggested, that date and celebration would probably be at City Park, or this is the concept at City Park, with a ceremonial tree plantings and maybe some tree give
council, what you just told us, and let them know that we are already moving forward. We just need their okay. Yeah, because that
would work.
That sounds like an exciting adventure. Yeah. It really does. I applaud you for doing that. I mean, to have these kids out there planting trees in the city park, be phenomenal.
Yeah. So I will plan on. Well, we would need a motion for me, I believe, to speak on behalf of PWEB, or I could speak as a member of PWEB and basically describe the concept that I just described, which would probably be the easiest.
That makes perfect sense to me. Okay. All those in favor of asking Noah to make a brief presentation to City Council on the Adopt-a-Tree program presentations that he's got?
Aye.
All right.
Okay. Noah,
okay,
go for
so
it.
That'll be September 22nd.
Yeah, I would verify with all your groups before you finalize it, just as a suggestion. Make sure everybody's on the same page with you. Yes. Okay. That's great. November 22nd.
Rob.
since the event is going to be in City Park, we should probably touch base with the Recreation Parks Department also. And I'm not sure when their board meets, but I'm sure they'll meet prior to November 22nd.
Are you saying we need to talk to the board or to staff?
At least to staff, I believe. I don't think anybody will have any heartburn over planting trees. I certainly don't.
No.
But just to make sure everybody's in the loop on that, we just don't all show up out.
And then you can give us an update at our next meeting on the status of that. Very good. Excellent. Okay. Matt, did you have something you wanted to say?
No.
Okay. Jane? June? Bill?
Yeah, I would hope that the city, if we get going with this Adopt a Tree program again, that the city would make sure that it remains as a permanent system. And in addition, there should be some follow-up on the trees were planted. I mean, the last Adopt the Tree program, there were four trees that I was watering. Mm-hmm. Of those four, only one remains. Two of those were cut down by people that lived there. They just didn't want the tree there. And I don't know what happened to the third one. And the fourth one, which I mentioned here a year ago, it fell over about 45 degrees toward the street when it was probably at already reached about 8 feet high. And Roger Pellissier and I tried to push it back. We couldn't move it. So we decided to just leave it go and see what happens. Well, that tree has grown a new trunk straight up. But the 45-degree thing is still growing out there toward the street, and one of these days it's going to fall over. And I brought that up wanting the city to you've got to do something about getting rid of that tremendous weight that's getting there, because when the rain, if we get any decent rains and the soil gets soft, we're going to lose that tree, and it's too big now. You don't want to lose it, you know. It needs it.
And you should give Rob the address.
He knows what it is.
I know where it is.
And proofs I had. And I came across a shot, and I thought, geez, what's that, you know? Then I realized it was a shot I made from when we were building our house in 1985, looking south across the street. And here is all these dang trees, and on the next street. And today, not a one of those trees is there, nor has one of them been replaced. You know?
Well.
So, you know, and when you consider how long it takes, and like this remaining tree that I say has got the stump, the trunk that has to be removed, after how long has this been? It's been about 10 years now, hasn't it?
Easily 10.
And you know, that tree, we can't lose that tree, but it's still, at this point, it's about 20 feet high, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take a lot longer to become a nice, like those trees were removed.
I think that's a good illustration of why we need cooperation between the citizens and the city, because the city can provide the continuity in the long run. And also, they have to provide some funding sources when it comes to things like pruning trees and that kind of, and replacement. So we need a long-term plan.
Well, this is what
I was, as well as a short-term get the trees in the ground type of program.
One thing I was hoping we could get going would be some people that would donate the trees, because the city doesn't have the money to replace those trees. But if we could get some people to donate the trees, well, I know they mentioned that. But this has got to get serious, you know, and get them planted, and then adopt the tree people to take care of them until they're ready to go.
Okay. Have at least, I believe it's $2 per citizen per year for tree maintenance of a tree city. So that's $20,000 a year. You know, and Morro Bay Beautiful is offering to contribute $5,000, and that's a significant amount of money.
That's a one-time. Mm-hmm.
It's a one-time only thing. So it isn't in an expensive endeavor, but it is, in my opinion, a worthwhile endeavor.
Oh, absolutely worthwhile.
Right now, we're shy hundreds of trees that should be replaced. Hundreds, and $5,000 not going to come anywhere near it.
Well, and if we can get people to donate the trees, that's a step in the right direction. You know, that's a start.
Noah, you wanted to make a comment?
Yeah, we are hoping to parlay the $5,000 that Morro Bay Beautiful has committed and potentially find matching grants or supporting funds with those so we can extend those funds as far as possible. The other thing that I thought we should definitely keep tabs on is this was submitted from Wally McRae last meeting, and it's in regards to H.R. 5867, the Energy Conservation Through Trees Act of 2008, which I have not looked into the current status of this bill, but it's a federal bill that could potentially help create funding sources for this sort of a program. So,
could we contact them for grants?
If this bill were to be passed, it sounds like there is, there's a call to action for groups to sponsor this through the ASLA, which is the Association of
Landscape Architects.
That's very commendable. So, Wally, wherever you are, thank you. Yeah. Bless you, lad. I think we're getting there. Yes, Rob, please jump in.
Just have a couple other things on funding. I just want to point out that Councilperson Winholtz did contribute a portion of her contingency money to the replanting of trees, so we do have that money. We also do have some money budgeted to replanting of trees that is when somebody wants to remove a tree, the permit costs for that removal goes into that fund. As far as costs go, we did prune the 388 or so trees downtown at the tune of slightly over $35,000. Now, typically, we don't need to do that every year, but we hadn't pruned a tree in the downtown for maintenance-type pruning since 2002, so they really needed. We're getting a lot of storm damage in the wintertime from these trees, so we really needed to get that done this year before we faced some major expenditures with liabilities.
Is it possible, rather than waiting until November 22nd to plant the first tree on the Adopt a Tree program, is it possible to get some trees planted before then? Specifically, those three spots right in front of the public works?
Yeah, those are available for replanting anytime. So,
what's holding it up?
Ideally, we would like to plant in the closer to the fall season, which we're coming into right now. The temperatures have dropped, so I think.
Planted?
No.
Okay.
We can take care
of
that.
So, sometime as the rainy season begins, these trees.
They'll be replanted. Like
are there other areas?
I'll adopt those three.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. On record for that now.
What were you thinking of planting there?
I'm not a tree expert. I was going to go to our tree list and talk to a couple of the local arborists to make sure that we don't. The three that were there were, they're in the eucalyptus family. They had the long trailing branches on them, and I know they were, they're difficult to keep above the sidewalk, so I don't think I would pick that variety again.
And no palm trees, please.
No palm trees. Although there are palm trees on our street tree list. I'm not sure. If anybody has any recommendations, I would gladly take them.
I've been really impressed with the Catalina Island oak trees, Quercus tomentilla, which is that's the growth that's surrounding the library. Those seem to be doing really well, and they drop their yes from the Catalina Islands. They do really well, and that does bring up the other part of this discussion, which is as we move closer to a potential tree planting ceremony, to make sure that we I've received a lot of feedback about this program, and there's a great amount of enthusiasm, but the concern that is brought up is let's make sure that we're putting the right tree in the right place. So I think Wally will be an excellent participant in this discussion, so we're making sure that we have happy adopting.
Okay, then let's move on. Well, no, wait a moment. Let's bring this to a close for my own edification. We've got the letter going to the council. We have, which covers the landmark tree definition that we want from council as quickly as possible. Rob, could you put a little ASAP on that, please?
Yes, as much as I can.
Yes.
And I'll make sure that there are three trees in front of public services before the next meeting.
Oh, whoa. That's impressive.
Let us know if you'd like a hand with that.
Yeah.
I will.
And also, I'd be more than happy to do a little tree research on specific trees if you need a hand with that, choosing them.
Great.
I'd be happy to help with that.
We have a street tree list. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure all of them are appropriate.
They're not. The trees really need to be specific for the site. Okay. So if you need a hand, I'd work with Wally or whoever else.
Very good.
Try to narrow down the selections.
We'll get you Wally's phone number and get you together immediately. Okay, so you and I are contacting the council. Noah is going to make a presentation on the Adopt a Tree. And you might also add, if you can, for the council's benefit, maybe some of those cost factors that you mentioned.
Oh, I definitely.
Get an idea of
describe
budget.
As I did for us tonight. And then I will also follow up with Mr. Woods about the date as well, make sure that looks good.
Good. Excellent. Does anybody else want to add anything to what we're doing? We'll get that into the lexicon. Okay. All right. Good. Well, next on the agenda is the future agenda items. So we have the stormwater management plan status update. Is Dylan bringing that back to us in October?
Stormwater management plan would be my item. It's we have resubmitted our stormwater plan to the regional board. By the next meeting, we'll have responses back, and it'll be in the public review period. So we thought that would be an appropriate time.
So it is coming back?
It is coming back next
time. Okay. What about the North Main Street Class 2 bike lane?
That is a possibility that could come back also. I haven't completed too much on that item.
Okay.
And then Dylan has the next chapter, I think, legal authority.
On the sanitary?
We're going to get on the sanitary sewer management plan.
If you have information on the North Street bike lane, that would be appreciated. If you have time, if not, we can, as I said at one of the meetings, I think it's morphing at its own pace.
And we did order some share the road signs to get up on North Main in the interim period.
Excellent.
Is Red Davis an appropriate person to have contacted about that discussion?
This project is not to get into too much discussion since it isn't an agenda item, but it's been around for a while. It's been to council a few times. Mm. An issue of costs to do that construction.
Okay. Well, we'll maybe hear something about that next meeting. We have come to that period, unless, of course, members of the board have one final comment to make. Noah, make a comment.
Quickly, quick comment regarding future agenda items. It would be really interesting to have a pilot or showcase project that partners some of the low-impact development techniques of stormwater management with the Adopt a Tree program, and potentially seeing what we could do about the tree planting and some of the concepts that were presented at the rainwater catchment workshop, which was essentially reducing the curb in that area and allowing for stormwater to infiltrate and absorb in the tree planted area. That would be a wish to the heavens as something that we could potentially do down the road, especially if we could couple it with our stormwater management plan as an educational type of a demonstration project.
I think that's an excellent idea. Educational, I'm in favor of, by all means. Do you have a particular month in store in mind?
No, I'd just like to keep that on our minds as far as something.
Would you like us to add it to the future agenda list, as Barry Dorfman often called it, the queue? Would you like to add that to the queue, which is basically our list?
I guess I'd ask Rob, is there, do you see any potential for us to fit that in as a project at some point in the
future? I think we could probably, I think it's fairly simple in a lot of places that we'll be planting trees because there is no curb and gutter along used together should that implementation grant be successful. So not sure maybe the next meeting when we talk about our stormwater plan, we can talk about some of these implementation steps with the stormwater plan that will be going on.
That sounds great. It'd be excellent to merge, if possible, our tree planting with the stormwater management plan.
Would you like to bring to that next meeting, our next meeting, the stormwater management plan update? Would you like to bring some little research, a little information, more pertinent to what you're talking about right now?
I could. Would that be helpful?
Yeah, you can either bring it, or I believe a couple of the people from our office were able to attend that the workshop. So I think that's valuable information that was discussed there. We can bring that to our next meeting when we talk about stormwater.
Great.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. I believe that brings us to a close, unless anybody last chance. Okay, I will entertain a motion to adjourn to our next meeting here at the Vets Hall on Wednesday, October 16th, 2008. A motion has been made to adjourn. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Very good. Thank you, folks, for paying attention.
And I'm looking here. Quick correction. It's going to be October 15th, I believe. Is the Wednesday.
Oh, it's not this. It is the 15th. We all stand corrected.
Thank you, Noah.
Okay, on that happy note.